You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Hey, good morning. And I don't want anybody complaining that it's too cold in here, okay? So we're actually turning the heat down for some of you. And it's good. But I'm glad that you're here today. Since we weren't here last week, I get twice as much time today. So it'll be double the sermon. I got to get it all out. And I'm expecting that you're going to give twice. And so we'll do that here in a little bit. So anyway, hey, we're finishing up this series, Reset. And I want to ask you a couple of questions to kind of get your mind thinking about what we're going to think about. But have you ever believed something and then learned that your belief was wrong? Have you ever believed something and learned that your belief was wrong? Okay, that's the first question. I think that's true. I think that's, hopefully you're learning things along the way. That's a whole part of education. That's a part of parenting, is teaching your children some different things along the way that they thought was wrong, and even things that you've thought were wrong. And as you change, you apologize and explain the new things and learn truths. And we as Christians, I think, should be lifelong learners. If anyone should be continually learning, it should be us in Christ, because we know that truth is found in Christ alone, but we need to continually be learning. And then also this idea of question is how did learning the truth change your thinking and also your behavior? How did it change your thinking and then also change your behavior? So for instance, how many of you learned in school that Columbus found the Americas? There were these people that were called indigenous peoples, Native Americans, what do you call them? They were here before, right? So we understand that. And actually, there's these blonde guys that would raid places called the Norse or the Vikings. We know them better as probably here 1,000 years before Mr. Columbus, but we still kind of propagate that. How many of y'all believe that the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock? They landed on Provincetown, Massachusetts, and then a month later made it down to Plymouth Rock. But we propagate that as well. So some of you are like, my whole historical life is now in shambles. This is one that's going to get most of you. How many of you believe that George Washington had wooden teeth? What I learned in the first service is those that were over a certain age of maturity believed that he had wooden teeth because they were having wooden teeth themselves, is what they said. His teeth were made of ivory, gold, and lead. So can you imagine getting some teeth work done that way? How many of you believe or have been told that lightning never strikes the same place twice? Yeah, that is not true. Go to the Empire State Building. It gets struck many times a year, even. How many of you have traveled and you've traveled from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere and you were told that the toilets go in different directions? That's how I sell people to go on mission trips. It's not true. You do your business, it still goes down the same way. But it is a fun thought. How many of you have been told that it takes 7 years to digest gum? Some of you do that. Like every time I swallow gum, my wife's like, where'd your gum go? And I was like, it's in my belly and it will be out in a little bit. Because if it wasn't, I would be like this big bouncy thing. You could push me and be like, boing! Like I have swallowed every pack of piece of gum I've ever had. It's gone through me. I don't know why. It's just one of those lovely habits that I have. It's a quirk of mine. How many of you have been told that you could swallow at least 8 spiders a year? Ugh, all the ladies are like, yummy. There's your protein. No, we don't. Most of us, we never even swallow a spider in our lifetime. We're not prey. We don't do that. But those things. How many of y'all believe that goldfish have a 3-second memory? They don't. They can actually remember things for up to 3 months. It's pretty incredible. How many of y'all been told we only have 5 senses? We actually have 8. We have now balance, pain, and temperature are added senses that we've come to understand. This is one of my favorite ones. How many of y'all have been told that caffeine dehydrates you? Not true. All my coffee drinkers, let's go, baby. Listen, there's water in that coffee. It does not dehydrate you. As a matter of fact, even when you have your Coke Zero, I put extra ice in there to counteract any potential dehydration. Like, get with it, people. Drink more caffeine. Jesus is in there. Seriously. And then this is my wife's favorite. Shaving. How many of y'all been told shaving makes your hair thicker? It obviously does not. You just get blunt edges. It doesn't happen that way. What if you, maybe when you're growing up, and maybe even sometimes now as adults, you think that everyone's opinion matters? It doesn't. As you begin to know people, you're like, their opinion doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, they're dumb. And so why would their opinion matter to me? And so now we live in this age of social media, and we succumb to other people's opinions that we don't even know and don't even care about, but we do things and make decisions based upon their opinions. How many of you thought as a child that money was going to solve everything? That it was going to make you happy, that it was going to, whatever that is. And as you get along in life, you realize that it's not. And so if you have extra money that you're knowing that's not bringing you happiness, you just find me later on and I will try it for you. This idea of physical intimacy being the ultimate thing, and more and more that we understand as adults that, hey, listen, that idea of physical intimacy is most beautiful between a husband and a wife in a covenant relationship, because there's no shame, pain, regrets, and all the other things that can go along with that. And then also this idea of power, and what does it look like to establish and to have power, and what does it take for us to get to power? And if we have power, then you're in it and you have to keep it, and what do you have to do to keep it? And all of those different things. So how have you gotten to that place where you've learned something that you once thought was true that now you know is false? How has it changed your thinking and also your behaving? So this morning we'll be looking at Romans chapter 12 and this idea of resetting your mind and your heart and your soul. And so Paul in Romans chapter 12, he has just been teaching for 11 chapters wonderfully deep theological truths, doctrinal truths. And then he comes to chapter 12 and he says, therefore, and he's talking about, in light of all these things that I've talked to you about for the last 11 chapters, I want you to then begin to allow those things to transform you and to change the way that you think. That in your old way, you had some old thoughts, but now you know the truth in Christ. And so that truth in Christ should change your mind, should change your character, and should change the way that you live and love and do life. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, or on your phone, Romans chapter 12. And it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, and so, in many of your translations, it does say therefore, and so that what was previously there. So therefore, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Now that idea of give is a sacrificial language, and so Paul is talking to a people that would have gone to the temple and they would have seen sacrifices. They would have chosen a dove, they would have chosen an animal, a perfect lamb, and they would have brought it on behalf of their family to sacrifice it for their salvation, for the expedience and the getting rid of their sins. There was a blood sacrifice, and so they would have seen this type of thing happen from childhood into adulthood. It was a regular part of their life and of their worship life. And so Paul is using that type of language, and he says, give, sacrificially, give over your bodies. Now, we have a tendency to think in our culture that body is just a physical thing. But in Hebrew thinking, in Jewish thinking, the body is the entire person, your heart, your mind, your soul, your mental life, your emotional life, all the different things that make us up, that make you you, uniquely you, that's your entire body. So even when someone in the Jewish world will say, may you have shalom to you, they would say, may you have peace. And it's not just a temporary peace. It's not just a peace of just your heart, of your mind, but it's a peace of your entire being. So that's when Paul says, may you experience the peace of God that passes human understanding. It's this entire thing that even though we can't explain it or understand it, our entire body, our entire being is at peace because we are at peace with our Creator. And so here Paul is using this mindset. He says, therefore, in light of all this great theology and doctrine that you now have, give, sacrificially give your entire being, your thoughts, your body, your character, your will, your mind, your heart, everything that you think makes up you, your actions, put those on the altar before God because of what he's done for you. And so he's using this great sacrificial language for us. He says, there, then for let them be. Let your body then be a living, because again, whenever you make a sacrifice, you're taking the life of something. And so Paul is saying, I'm not telling you to take your own life. What I'm saying is to give your entire life, your living life, your awake days, your dying, your doing thing days, put all of that before him and may it be a holy sacrifice. Now that word holy is this idea of being set apart. It's this idea without blemish. And you and I understand that we're human, and because we're human, we have not been and we never will be without blemish on our own. We are able to be a holy sacrifice because of what Christ has done for us. And so we can be holy, we can be set apart, we can be different because of what Christ has done, but we are giving our entire being to be an act of worship and to be sacrificial. It follows up and he says, this will be the kind that's also acceptable. That word acceptable is this idea of relational, spiritual, logical, where the word there is actually logikos, which we get our word logic from, that it's reasonable, rational for us to give our life, our whole being to Christ because of all this theology that we know. And that this is truly the way to worship him. That our what we should be as followers of Christ because of this good theology, because we know what is true, therefore we're going to give our entire being holy and pleasing to him. We're going to lay it on the altar before him and say, God, because of all of this stuff that is true, I'm now giving my entire self to you. And so that one of the things I want you to get as Christians is we should not check our brains at the door of the church. Whether we're coming in or going out, as Christians, we should be the best educated, the best learned. We should constantly be lifelong learners because we know that our foundation is the truth of Christ. We know that he is the truth, the way, the life, and in him we find life. And so there's so many things that we need to know and to continue to learn about because we don't want false beliefs to drive our behaviors. So we constantly be leaning into continually learning more and more and more. And yes, there's faith, which we say is blind, but in reality, it's not blind. It's because of experience. We have faith. But then there's also this piece that there's some things that we don't know and we don't understand, and we have an experience, but we see that others have, so we're learning from them. And we've also learned from the past that God has always been faithful and truthful to us, and he's never lied to us. He's never broken a promise to us. So therefore, because we know that truth, we can take the next step. And so what does it look like for you and I to truly worship and have an offering and sacrifice? It means that you and I are living our life for Christ 24/7. And that our worship engages our mind and engages our neighbors. It engages our work. It engages our schoolwork. It engages our play. It engages everything. So everything that we do and say in Christ is an act of worship. And so therefore, we should be creatures and beings that are constantly learning more and more about ourselves, more and more about the world that God has for us, but more importantly, more and more about who God is and what he thinks about himself and what he thinks about us. And so in light of that sacrifice, he says, so if you're going to be a holy and pleasing and logical and rational sacrifice for Christ, then the opposite of that, that you can't be, the thing that if you want to do this, then you can't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Now, when we think of copy, we think of that word Xerox, which is actually the company, right? And so we just made that the term copy. I know some of you copied your hands, you copied other parts of your body as well because you thought it would be cool. But that word copy is part of it. But probably the better illustration is this idea of conform and mold. And so maybe some of you had these Play-Doh tools where you would have a Play-Doh thing and you would make teeth or you would make hair come out or whatever, and you would conform the Play-Doh, you would shape it into the mold and into what you wanted to see. And so here Paul is using that language. He says, don't copy the customs, don't be molded into the customs of this world. And that we're not mass-produced things, we're one-of-a-kind, unique masterpieces. And so that each one of us have been uniquely made and God has a unique purpose for each one of us. We're not mass-produced, but unique creations of God, not only through birth, but also through our experiences, through our education, through our family, even growing up in Fayette County, all these different things, they shape you uniquely you for the purpose that God has for you. So what are the behaviors and customs of this world? Where do we get them? The behaviors and the customs of this world teach us to love things and use people. Hear me again. The behaviors and customs of this world teach us to love things and to use people. Scripture, the Bible, teaches us to love people and to use things. And so the world is constantly teaching us, use people for your own good, power, money, sex, whatever it is. Use people, get what you want and things, accumulate things. That's where you'll find your purpose, your meaning, your value in life. But the Bible tells us that we're to love people even if they look and act and think differently like us because the foot of the cross is equal ground. Love everyone. And the things that God provides for us, those are just bonus of his generosity was with us. So what does the world value? What are the things of the world that you value that bring purpose and meaning to your life that you've learned over the years are actually just cheap trinkets and false things that maybe you thought for a moment brought purpose and meaning and value, but they don't. So don't copy the customs and behavior of this world, but let God transform you. That word transform, we've talked about several times, is that word metamorph, which we get metamorphosis, which is this idea of going from a caterpillar that's this ugly being along the ground that's crawling along, and then somewhere along the way, magically, you know, scientists have told us, but it's still this magical thing that we can't really grasp, put our heads around, that it goes into this cocoon at some point, and all of a sudden, after a certain amount of season of preparation, there's this transformation that happens, and then as they come out of the cocoon, they're this beautiful butterfly. And you're like, how does this ugly being that has this walking along and that some of us as kids and as, you know, you ladies, you're like, ew, nasty, and you squash it, right? To then all of a sudden this transformation happens from the outside, inside, and then all of a sudden you see a butterfly and you're like, kids, don't touch it. It's too beautiful. That's the image that God has for us. He says, listen, and whenever you've said yes to me, I want to transform you from this ugly caterpillar that maybe people want to squash and your perspective is down here to, I want to transform you to now where you're a beautiful butterfly and your perspective is up here. To what does it look to be transformed? And what are we transformed into? A new person. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, this idea of new person is a new creation, that you're kind of like a statue, that you've been melted down and a new substance is put in you, that now you're made holy, that now you're made for holy purposes, not just casual purposes, but holy purpose. And so now when you're, like, you look the same on the outside, but you've been changed and are being changed on the inside because of the new substance inside of you. And so allow Christ to transform you, to metamorph you from a caterpillar with a limited perspective to the struggle that goes forth in the cocoon, so that you can be over here as a butterfly and have a new perspective, a new life, and be like, people literally say, what a beautiful life change. That's the gospel. That the only way that you can be the butterfly with a new perspective where people see you and perceive you differently as a butterfly than they do from a caterpillar is because the new substance in you is the Spirit of God and He's changed you. And so you're a different person and being because now you have different eyesight. You go from loving things to loving people. So your purpose and meaning and value changes. It's a process that's internal. It brings about complete interchange of thought, will, desires that shows up and results in recognizable change in your character. That you are wholly sacrifice, that people see something is different about you. They can't explain it because you look the same on the outside, but on the inside, your character is showing. Your character is more and more like Jesus because He's transforming you. Changed thinking means changed living. So one of the things as a parent, you're constantly trying to teach your kids, you're trying to shape them and mold them, right? Why? Because you know that there's some false thinking that they've got, that the world is all about themselves. Your kids ever thought that? Yeah, have you ever thought that and then you got married? Okay. Yeah, changed thinking changes the way that you live. And that's what Christ is doing. He's constantly changing us internally, changing our thinking, changing our mind, our spiritual mind, so that we will begin to love people more and to be less selfish and to be about things. So my question for us is, what are we feeding our minds? What are we taking in? What is it that the world is like? What are you watching on TV? What are you watching on Netflix? All the different things that we take in. We're consuming all kinds of stuff. And that stuff actually shapes us if we allow it. It conforms us. It molds us into. I mean, some of the reasons that you drive the cars that you drive, the way that you dress, the things that you do. Why? Because the world says this is how it's supposed to be done. And this will bring X to you. And you're like, I want this. And so you've bought into it. And so you're giving of yourself to those things. And God's saying, listen, those things don't define you or bring purpose and meaning to your life. I do. So what are you feeding your minds? Because changed thinking matters. That's why we do sermons on Sunday. And so that through my study, God works on my heart and shapes my heart. And then I come and bring to you what God's been doing in my heart and my mind and my soul through the study of the word. And my prayer is that it changes you, that you receive a seed of it and it dies in you so that new life can come. Here's one of the beautiful things about being a pastor is I get fun notes from people. Hey, Pastor Chris, when are you going to tell the congregation that if they're not Republican or Democrat, they don't love Jesus? Hey, Pastor Chris, when are you going to tell people if they struggle with any type of sexual sin that they're not really a believer? Hey, Chris, when are you going to tell someone when they have bankruptcy that they really, if they loved God, they wouldn't have bankruptcy, they wouldn't have credit cards? You know, you see what I'm saying? And it's like, well, so we make ourselves feel better by judging other people's sins and trying to make our sins more justifiable. That's why one of our core beliefs here is no perfect people are allowed. It's not an excuse to sin, it's an opportunity of grace. That all of us enter into this place and none of us are perfect. All of us are on a spiritual journey of transformation. And that we can learn from one another, we can be encouraged by one another, and that we're not about the kingdom of this world, we're about the kingdom of Jesus. And so if that's true, then let God transform your heart and your mind from the inside out so that you can be this new person, changing the way that you think. Changed thinking changes the way you're living. If you're struggling with something in your life, that's one of the points of even Life's Healing Choices that we're offering, is to change the way that you think about yourself, the way that you think about your community, so you can live differently. If you want freedom in an area of your life, you need to change your thinking. And the way that that can happen is to know the truth of Jesus and to apply that. So that if you learn those things, the next part of the passage says, if all of this is true, then you will learn those things. That word learn means to process, the process of testing or approving, kind of like a scientific experiment. We try it over and over and over again. If you do these things, then you will test and approve what? You will then know God's will for you. If you want to know God's will, test and approve it. How do you do it? You spend time knowing Him and allowing Him to transform you, that you begin to have an appetite, a will, a character, desires after Him. And that, what does that look like? To know His commandments, to spend time in His Word, to spend time with other people. And why is that? Why do you want to know these things? Because God's will is for you to be unhappy and poor and sad. No. What does it say? For you to learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now listen, part of it, there's times that we go through seasons of life and we're like, God, why are you doing this? And if we lean in and ask ourselves to be tested and approved in that moment, He will show, hey, even this moment of suffering is for your will and for you. And even this season of suffering is good and perfect and pleasing, because it's not about your happiness, but your holiness. God is more concerned with our holiness than our happiness. He's more concerned with our character than our checkbook. And so He wants to transform you. We have been to Bible studies. We've been to Sunday school. We've been to VBS. We've done these mission trips. We've done all these different things, and we've done the spiritual things, but are they actually changing our heart and our mind and our soul, where we don't live like a caterpillar anymore, but we live like a butterfly, and that we're distinctively different, and that we live our life as an act of worship? Because we not only have intellectually understood the truths of Romans 1 through 11, but now we're also actually experiencing them. We know what it means to be free. We know what it means to receive grace. The longer that we live in Christ, the more we should be amazed by the grace that He offers us. Because if anybody knows the deep, dark thoughts of my mind, it's me and Him. And you. You know your deep, dark thoughts as well. And it's in those moments that you're like, how in the world would God love this? Look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Spirit searches all things. I think of a big spotlight, like looking through your heart and your soul and your mind. Even the deep things of God, though. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? How many of y'all have some deep, dark thoughts? Don't raise your hand. I'll do it for you. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. So when you've said yes to Jesus, you didn't receive the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit. You've been melted down, and the new substance is the Spirit of God placed within inside of you, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And there's a difference in understanding. You've learned it and you understand it, and understanding means you can now apply it. So we understand it so we can apply it. And what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual reality with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. In other words, if you don't know Christ, then the things of the gospel appear foolish to you. Why would you give away some of your money? Why would you give away your time? Why would you, all these different things that, because it's my time, it's my money, it's what, but why would you give it away? It's foolishness to others, but in Christ we understand the amazed by grace, and he's like, he only asks us to give 10%. He only asks us to give whatever, and so it just changes your perspective. We cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But you and I in Christ have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we can love people and use things instead of using people and loving things. Here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. In Christ, we should be distinct from our culture. In Christ, our thinking should change. We should move from caterpillar thinking to butterfly thinking and perspective. In Christ, our thinking impacts our character, which then also determines our behavior. We, as followers of Jesus, should be different. And every single day, we should be a little bit more like Jesus. We should love a little bit more like Jesus tomorrow than we did yesterday, because he's transforming our character. I see what you believe by how you behave. I see what you believe by how you behave. You say you love God, but I see your love by the way that I see that you love your neighbor. In other words, if we're going to proclaim that we love God, it's got to show up here. So we got to check our motives, our character. Do we love people more than we love things? My prayer for us is that you know all of the things of Romans 1 through 11. But more importantly, it's begun to change you. And you begin to love people more than you love the things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful gifts that you've given us. And the most precious gift you've given us is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that everyone in this room has said yes to Jesus, that everyone in this room has and is in that moment of transformation, that, Father, that you are renewing our minds and renewing our thinking on a daily basis. And that, Father, we're not about the kingdom of this world, but we're about your kingdom and we're about the Father's business. May you be brought glory and honor through the sacrifice that we lay on the altar this week, on Monday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. May we place our entire beings there. And may it be a holy and pleasing and reasonable act of worship before you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.